Hey there, welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. My special guest today is Mr. Jim Donovan, and Jim has written several books. This one that we're going to be talking about is This Is Your Life. It's not a dress rehearsal. Jim's my new friend. He's got a lot of cool things to say to ex-offenders, and we're going to be speaking with him right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Like getting email from me, you can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney at yahoo.com. Love to hear from you. Hey, welcome back. I had a great conversation a couple of weeks ago with a Mr. Jim Donovan. He's written a bestseller that's been out for quite a while. It's called This Is Your Life, Not a Dress Rehearsal. Let's pick up our conversation with Jim.
You know, so many people go through life thinking, well, you know, I'm just going to kind of get things in order here. When I get everything lined up really nice and neat, all my ducks in order, then I'm going to start living my life, and then everything will be great. Well, guess what? You know, the clock is ticking. This is your life. This is not a dress rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
This is happening right now. And we tend to not think about that sometimes. We act as if we're going to live forever. And as much as I'd like to, I probably won't. So it's kind of a wake-up call. I like it. It reminds me that this is my life, too.
Mm-hmm. Why is it that you think that so many people put off doing what they want in life? Why do we do that?
Well, there's a couple of things, and I've been doing this work now for almost 20 years, and it's a combination of fear. It stops people from, you know, like, gee, someday I'd like to do this or that. You know, when are you going to do that? When is someday? And some of it is just not, they're stuck. They get limiting beliefs. I see that all the time, particularly with your audience and just a lot of different people that I speak with, that, you know, you get stuck in the, oh, I can't do that. You know, I went through that back in 1995, 96, when I was writing my first book. And I had a lot of voices in my head telling me why I couldn't do it and why it wouldn't work, because, you know, I had absolutely no qualifications to write a book. I barely got through high school. I did learn to write pretty well and developed that skill over the years, but I, you know, there, if I had listened to the voices, I never would have done it. But fortunately, I've always had this thing I think I got from my mother that said, well, you know, I don't know if I can do this or not, but I'm going to take a shot and we'll see what happens. And if I fail, well, I get bruised a little bit and my ego gets bruised and I'll pick myself up and we'll do something different. But it was really that. It was, I literally went to my wife and I said, let me borrow your credit card. I want to print 1,000 books. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I figured I could sell enough books to pay for the credit card bill or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what I had in mind, but because I didn't really know what I was doing, but it seemed like a cool thing to do. And that changed my life. And that book has gone on and been a bestseller around the world. And This Is Your Life, Not a Dress Rehearsal has been a bestseller around the world. And I have a couple of newer ones that are starting to move. And yeah, it's been an amazing ride. And it's enabled me to do something that I'm absolutely passionate about and to be able to touch people's lives and to be able to have a positive impact on people's lives. And that's a big, that's what you get when you overcome the fear, when you overcome the limiting beliefs and you get away from that. Because the beliefs will stop us from doing anything. And you almost have to get around people that'll say, hey, you know what, Rodney, you can do this, man. Come on, I have some faith in you, and I know that if you just put your mind to it, you can do it. Those are the people you want to hang out with.
Well, we get so, Jim, we get so bogged down in the day-to-day, you know, trying to pay the bills, and, you know, me and guys like me that listen to this show, you know, we worry about jobs, and we get so bogged down in that. I mean, how can we break away from that and get into something and take the risk? You know, what does it take to do that?
Well, I think it starts with a vision. For me, and everything that I talk about works backwards. Whenever I do a seminar or I do coaching with people, and pardon me, there's a plane going over here. Whenever I'm coaching individuals or groups of people or I'm doing a seminar, I do a volunteer program in Bucks County Prison, and it's basically the same. I start from the same place. It's like, get a vision of where you want to be. Just get an image of, you know, I was seeing myself speaking and being an author and like, wow, that would be an amazing life to be living. I wasn't doing any of it at the time. When I started thinking about that, I was doing a small business. I did graphic design. I've done a lot of things. I've lived on the edge and, you know, walked that tightrope for a while and hit bottom a couple of times and all that. But basically, if you get a vision of what you want and if you spend a little time each day, in the morning preferably, sit down, get quiet, sip crack, maybe close your eyes or not, it doesn't matter, and just picture yourself doing what it is you want to be doing. Just see yourself doing it. See yourself doing a podcast. I mean, you started somewhere. You weren't born doing a podcast, because podcasts haven't been around long enough for that to be true. So somewhere along the way you said, you know what, I could do this.
Right.
And you started seeing yourself doing it. The more you, after a while, you start doing the things that need to be done. It's almost automatic. It's like, if I see myself, let me shift it a little bit. If I see myself healthier, if I see myself in better shape than I am, somewhere along the way, I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to start making better food choices. But it begins with the self-image. Everything we do is controlled by our self-image. So you change the self-image. You don't try to change the activity. This is where people trip up. It's like, well, you know, I don't have much going, so I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to start a business, and I'm going to run around and try to get business. And they burn out because they haven't changed the image of themselves as to become what it is that they want to become. So you start with the mental work. It's an inside job.
Right.
You start there, and then that leads you to the specific things that you need to do along the way. And you get, you know, it's not an overnight process. You get around people that are going to be supportive, like I said. There's a lot of things come together, but it really begins with that. It begins with, what do I want to do? I had this conversation this morning with someone. I said, you know, if money didn't matter and you could do anything you want, what would you be doing? And he answered me rather quickly. And I was shocked, because most people sit there and look at me when I ask that question.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, so what do you need to do to start moving toward that? This was a single guy with a couple of little kids and couldn't work out of the house. He's got a couple of little kids. And so I said, yeah, what's your dream? What do you really want to be doing? Don't tell me all the things you could do or you have done or you are doing. What do you want to be doing? And I made this choice back in, I don't know, somewhere in the mid-90s. I started thinking how cool, I always thought it would be cool to be a writer, an author. Mm-hmm. I figured, hey, they could live anywhere, and they could pretty much do anything. And you know what? I could live anywhere in the world, and I could do whatever I want on a given day. Mm-hmm. I have to do certain things or nothing's going to happen. But I get to choose the things I do. I get to choose the people I hang out with. But it began back with the, wow, wouldn't it be nice if? And then you start imagining yourself doing that. And you let the power of your subconscious mind go to work for you and start attracting. It's law of attraction. You move toward what you think about. You move toward what you focus on. Mm-hmm. What you speak about, you bring about, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really that simple. I don't want to make it oversimplify it, but it really is pretty straightforward. You know, the Bible says, ask and you'll receive. Okay, I got it. That's pretty simple. Ask and I'll get it.
Well, what about...
Think about it, worry about it.
Jim, what about expectation levels? I mean... You know, should you go into these kinds of pursuits with reasonable expectation levels, reasonable goals, or should you just shoot for the moon?
I like the moon. I wrote an article a number of years ago. It was titled, Are Your Goals Exciting? It's still on my blog. Because I found myself, it was during one of the many recessions that we've been having. We've been having a few recessions, in case you hadn't noticed.
Yeah.
And I was starting to listen to people that were all around me that were talking about how bad things were. And I started actually lowering my expectations. It was like, well, you know what? Maybe that goal's a little out of reach. Maybe I should lower the goal. And what happened as a result of this, I had done enough things. I had lowered enough things that, you know, I'd wake up in the morning, it's like, how exciting is any of this? This isn't fun anymore. I got nothing. There's no juice. Mm-hmm. Because it was all like, yeah, okay. You know, imagine you wake up in the morning, you go, wow, you know, I feel fantastic. I just can't wait to jump out of bed and go out there and do some business, and I can make the money to pay the phone bill. How exciting was that?
Yeah.
You know, is that, how much drive is that going to be? But if you set bigger goals, you know, Bob Proctor said, if your top goals don't scare you, they're not big enough. They should excite you and scare you at the same time.
I like that.
You know, I'm excited going to this. And it's like, oh my God, if I ever made, wow, what would that be? And I'm frightened of it. I mean, you tell me I'm going on the Oprah show next week, I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to be really nervous. But you know what? I'm going to be there. Okay? And mm-hmm. I'm going to be ready. I'll get the media training. I'll do whatever I have to do. Okay?
Right.
Oprah's listening to this. I just wanted to drop that in there. No, I'm kidding. But that's, you know, you want goals that are going to excite you enough, because that's what will get you through the mundane. Because there's always going to be mundane. You know, if I want to lose 10 pounds and be in better shape and have more energy, I've got to exercise. I've got to go do the treadmill, which to me is one of the most boring things in the world. So doing the treadmill is not going to excite me. But looking good and feeling good and just having that energy level at the end of the day is going to make me go do the drudgery in the middle, the treadmill and all that, day-to-day, because there's always day-to-day stuff.
Right.
That you have to do. Everybody does that. Nobody lives this perfect life, I don't think. And they have great things that people have done, and they do, but they still, somebody said, you know, you still have to take out the garbage.
Yeah, that's right.
Somewhere.
That's right.
And in fact, one of the big old-time actresses, like,
well, listen.
Their names anymore. But somebody came by, and she was out emptying the trash, and I, oh my God, you know, you're a famous, you know, Olivia de Havilland or somebody, you know, Bob Hope or Lucille Ball or some big, big-time person, and hey, you all putting out the garbage. Like, yeah, I'm famous, but I still got to put the garbage out.
Still got to take out the trash. Yeah. Well,
I think you're having a higher expectation within some boundary. I don't know. You can't be delusional about it either. I think there's a middle ground where, you know, for me, it's bestsellers, and I've done it. I've done it around the world in a couple of different categories.
Right.
Yeah, and at the beginning, that was like, wow, you got to be kidding me. I hadn't sold a book, so to be a bestseller from having sold zero is a big jump, but you do it. You go through the steps. You learn what you need to, you know. I think one of the other things that you would ask what stops people is we have this belief that we have to know everything, and people let little things get in the way. Mm-hmm. You don't have to know everything. Mm-hmm. You have to know where to find people that do, because there are things that come up that you don't know, and you can always find help. So reaching out and asking people for help is a big thing. We have that more now than ever with the internet and social media and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I get on groups and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also talk, Jim, about accepting yourself, and you talk about the necessity of gratitude. And can you address that for us and talk about the importance of those in a person's life in trying to reach these goals?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. It's for me, the acceptance is a step one, and I learned this many years ago. Whatever's going on in your life, good, bad, or indifferent, it's yours. You got to own it. Because here's why. It's not a moral thing, but here's the reason for that. If my life is screwed up because of something that the government is doing, my life is going to stay screwed up until the government changes. And the likelihood of that is zero. Mm-hmm. However, if I'm willing to accept what's going on in my life and say, you know what, this is presently a mess, but it's my mess. Therefore, I have some power to do something about it. If I own it, I can change it. If it's someone else's fault, I'm stuck. So you get back your power. At least, hey, the point of power is in the present moment. You get that power, and then gratitude, again, because... And I'm sure you've run across the law of attraction information that's been floating around for thousands of years. It's been a lot in the media lately. Law of attraction says you get what you focus on. So here's how I play that out. If I'm focused on the things that I'm grateful for, these are generally things that I want. These are things that I appreciate in my life. Law of attraction says you get more what you focus on. So if I'm focusing on what I want, that's what I'm going to get more of. So the more gratitude I'm showing... And I just read a book about that. There's a whole 28-day immersion program on just keeping you in that place of gratitude every morning, writing down 10 things. And here's a tip for your listeners. Anybody who wants to change their income quickly, mm-hmm. I mean quickly, I've had this happen within a few days, you start writing down lists of things you're grateful for and things that you appreciate. And that can be anything. You can do this, by the way, anywhere. I said, for the last 16 years, I've been volunteering a prison program. And, you know, you talk to somebody who's sitting in a room in a jumpsuit, and you say, okay, so what are you grateful for? And they look at you like you're crazy. Hey, I'm in jail. What am I grateful? What are you crazy? There can be a lot worse things. So you start finding little things, whatever it might be, because that mm-hmm. leads to more. Right. That attracts more of the same. So if I'm starting to feel like gratitude, I'm starting to feel better about whatever's going on around me. Whatever's going on around me is going to start getting better. I mean, this is something you just have to kind of take it at face value and test it for yourself. I'm not saying people should believe anything I say. Mm-hmm. I make a point of that in all my books. It's like, don't believe what you read here. Go find out if it works for you. See if it rings true to you. There's too many people running around telling you how you should think. And I'm not going to be one of them. I'm going to say, hey, here's stuff, because I've been through it. I've been at the bottom. And here's stuff that's worked for me. I know it works. Okay? I'm not going to debate that. Nobody can talk me out of that. I don't have to defend it because I know it works because I live it, and I have lived it since 1986. Mm-hmm. And it works for me. So my theory is if it worked for me, it'll probably work for you. But don't take that as an absolute truth. Go out and find out. Go out and do this. And write down gratitude every day. Write up 5 or 10 things every day that you're grateful for, and do that every morning or every night and see what changes over a 30-day period. I promise you something will change in your life.
Good. I recommend it. Let's try that. Let's also talk about Jim, decisions. What can we do to ensure that we're making the right kinds of decisions?
When you say the right kinds of decisions, what do you mean?
Well, we want to be able to achieve these goals that we're setting for ourselves. And so how do we ensure that the decisions that we're making are in line with the goals that we're trying to achieve?
Well, that's a question you can apply to something and say, you know, is this action going to take me toward or away from my goals? If I do this, is this going to take me where I want to go? But the other thing that people get stuck, I think, is they get stuck in their, what's called the analysis of paralysis, the paralysis of analysis, rather. People sit on a fence. You see this a lot in business. And they'll hem and haw about making a small decision to the point that the opportunity that was there is no longer there. I've watched people do that. It's like, yeah, that was a great idea 5 years ago, but you spent 5 years debating it. Now it's not a great idea anymore. You have to move with these things. And one of the things I noticed is I've studied success and successful people over the years. I've met a lot and know a lot and interviewed a lot and whatnot. And one of the things you find that they have in common is that we all make decisions pretty quickly mm-hmm. and rarely change them. Most people do just the opposite. They take forever to make up their mind, and then they switch their answers back. Oh, no, I didn't want to do that. Let me do this. Make a decision. Gather all the information you possibly can so it's an informed decision. But at some point, you got to say, okay, I'm doing this. And the big aha is they're not all going to be right. You're going to make a lot of wrong decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading something recently. The woman, Susan Blakely, the woman that started Spanx, the pantyhose company.
Mm-hmm.
She basically cut the feet off pantyhose and made something out of it. And has one of the, she's the first billionaire woman under 40.
Wow.
She has a debt-free company. It's an amazing story. But she said one of the things that her father used to do at the dinner table was when the kids came home from school, he'd say, okay, so what did you fail at today? And her and her sister used to sit there and think of things that they did wrong during the day. And what he was doing was he was teaching them that failure is just part of the process of succeeding. See, people are so afraid of failure in our society. It's like, oh, what if it doesn't work? Hey, I could give you a list of things that I've done that didn't work, but I've always learned something from it, and I move on from it, and most things aren't going to kill you. And if they do, then you got no problems. You know, so somewhere, usually it's just some inconvenience, or you lose some money, or it sets you back a little bit. So you make a mistake. All right, fine. Figure out what you did wrong, and don't do that again, and figure out what to do right. And then learn and correct and act and correct. And it's just, it's all a process. Everything we do is a process.
Mm-hmm.
But don't let it stop you from doing something.
Jim, we need to take a quick break here. Jim, hang on just a second. We need to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with Jim Donovan. We're going to be talking about his book, This Is Your Life, Not a Dress Rehearsal, best-selling book. Jim's got a lot of great ideas for the ex-offenders and me out there. We're going to be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers. You're on the Journey of Hope. It's time to talk about the Jam Buddy chord chart. Those of you that are learning how to play music, or if you already play some music, doesn't matter what instrument it is. I'm talking banjo, I'm talking mandolin, I'm talking piano, electric guitar, bass guitar, whatever it is, you can use one of these things, because what it does is it teaches you how to use something called the Nashville Numbering System, which enables you to play songs in any key. A lot of these things have sold now, and the price is really cheap on them. It's a cool little thing to have. You click on the link next to the podcast for the Jam Buddy chord chart. Get you one of them things. It's the Jam Buddy chord chart. Okay, welcome back. We are here with Jim Donovan. We're talking about his book, This Is Your Life, Not a Dress Rehearsal, best-selling book from Jim. Jim has got a lot of great ideas. He very inspiring. And one of the issues, Jim, you bring up is fear. And you talk about the three faces of fear. What are those? And you had kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but what are those three faces of fear? And how do we get past all that?
The fear of being hurt, which some of that is valid. I mean, there's certain things you don't want to do. You don't want to walk out into traffic, for example. But a lot of times, you know, and it's, I'm thinking about writing a new blog post around this, because I've been thinking about it the last few days. And You know, we get this right from childhood. We're told, you know, well-intentioned parents say to kids, be careful out there, don't get hurt. Be careful, don't get hurt. So you grow up with your biggest concern is not getting hurt, and be careful, and it stops you from doing things. It's just, you know, what if I get hurt? Well, you probably won't. Like I said, there are things that it's good to be afraid of. Walking in front of traffic is one of them. But so many of the fears that we have are not, they're just not real. They're not likely to happen. The other one is a fear of not being perfect. You know, it's like people wait until I've got to get everything right before I do anything. And there's someone, I forget who it was, that said, imperfect action will always beat perfect inaction. You know, it's better to get something. And one of the generals said something like that about, you know, give me somebody with a mediocre plan and the ability to act, or the willingness to act on it, and I'll take that over the perfect plan that the person doesn't do anything with.
Right.
And so you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get it perfect. You just have to get it started. And this applies more to business than it does anything else in life. People have an idea and they want to do something, and you know, they're going to wait till the logo's designed and the letterhead, and I got to get my website. Yeah, you do certain things, but in the meantime, you can be moving forward. And you just do the basic, and you correct as you go. Because you're not going to be perfect the first time. I mean, Tiger Woods, I really seriously doubt that when Tiger Woods was first handed a golf club, that he went out and he broke par. He had a learning curve there. Billy Joel, this one is kind of interesting. Billy Joel, in the beginning, was so insecure that he almost committed suicide because he didn't believe that his music was any good. He didn't think anybody wanted to listen to his music.
I just saw that the other day. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I just saw that recently.
Yeah, I don't think he came out of the playpen playing the way he plays now.
No.
Or writing the way he writes now. I mean, none of us started out. And if I went back, I'm sure, I know with my seminars I can see, because I have some old videos. My speaking then and my speaking now, it's like, oh man, nobody should have given me a microphone. It wasn't maybe that bad, but it was pretty bad compared to now. And I'm sure the writing in the beginning was not where it is now. I mean, you get better as you go. You perfect as you go. I don't think, you know, anybody in music or anything creative especially, you're not going to be perfect. And you're probably not going to be good for a while. And I don't think Elton John, when he was in the cradle, was much of a piano player.
Uh-huh.
But over time, he became, you know, one, I don't know how many Grammys and everything else.
Right.
You know, so you grow into that. So you
Well, Jim, let me interrupt you right there real quick. What are the tools for success that we can use to help us achieve the goals that we set?
Well, I use several at any given time. I have in the last chapter, This Is Your Life, Not a Dress Rehearsal, as a matter of fact, I did share about a dozen or so, maybe 10 success tools. I use things like affirmations. I'm really big on affirmations. You create a positive present tense statement that supports the behavior or the skill that you're trying to learn, supports whatever it is you're trying to do. For example, I'm happy and grateful being at my ideal weight and having boundless energy. I may not be there when I make that up, but sooner or later I'm going to get there because I'm going to start. Your subconscious will start believing what you tell it. If you tell it that you're successful, you tell it that your business is growing, or you tell it, I may not be where I want to be, but I'm learning every day and I'm growing every day. You're going to start doing that. You're going to start becoming. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Affirmations are very powerful, and if you want to make them even more powerful, you do them in front of a mirror. But I would be cautious with that one, because one of the ones that I learned, and I learned it 25 years ago from Louise Hay, was the affirmation, I approve of myself. And I'll challenge anyone listening to go do that. Do it. Wait till you're alone, but go do that in front of a mirror and watch what happens. Because unless you had a very special upbringing, and most of us didn't, you will be made very uncomfortable by that statement. I mean, I've seen people go into tears with that. I used to use it in seminars, and I don't anymore because it made people uncomfortable. Visualization is another tool, very powerful. Like I said earlier, you know, just get a picture, make treasure maps. I've got two different treasure maps here in my office. One is about my business. It's the career says I'm a millionaire best-selling author and highly paid in-demand speaker. Some of that's accurate at the moment, some of it's not. It's still becoming. I got pictures of myself speaking. And on the other wall, I have my travel treasure map, pictures of places I want to go. You may have heard the same thing referred to as dream boards. vision boards. You're basically just making a visual collage of the things that you want to bring into your life, and it gives your subconscious or unconscious mind something to focus on and say, oh, okay, that's what he wants. I wasn't sure. This is, and it will start coming toward you. It's the way the universe works, and it's an absolute. Meditation is another one. I like quiet time. I'm big, and this can get a little complicated because you wind up. I need about 2 hours in the morning before I leave the house, just between all the different things that I do, and the meditation. The quiet time is a big part of that, and that time of just going into the. It's a make believe. I'm just doing a mind movie of what I want my life to be. That can be anything. I can mentally be standing at the end of my driveway and looking at the new driveway and the trees moved and the shrubs and the whatever I'm doing in the house or anything I want. I can pretend it's already done, And your subconscious doesn't know the difference. It'll start moving it into your life. You can keep a journal. Journaling is a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. I guess a gratitude list. I have a manifestation file. That was kind of fun. I started that a number of years ago. When something on my treasure map shows up in my life, like when I get that new car, I just took a picture down of a car because I just got a new car. And I had a picture of the car up there for a while I was kind of focusing in on what car and what color and all that stuff and how I'm going to put this together. And then now, instead of just taking the picture down and throwing it away, I'll take it and I'll put it in a file that I can go back to 20 years from now, and I can look at all the things that didn't used to be in my life that showed up in my life because I put my attention on it.
Interesting.
It can be downright spooky at times.
Interesting.
It becomes so accurate to your image of it that it'll blow you away.
Well, it's very interesting, Jim. This is all really great stuff. How can we find you in your books?
I'm easy to find. JimDonovan.com. JimDonovan.com. And that'll connect you to everything else.
Great.
I'm all over Facebook.
Great.
LinkedIn and Twitter and everywhere else.
Well, like I say, this is really good stuff. Very inspiring. I recommend the book. Jim Donovan, This Is Your Life, Not a Dress Rehearsal. Jim, I want to thank you so much for being here today.
Anytime, Rodney. It's been a pleasure.
We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Y'all, just wanted to let you know that we've got some really great shows coming up for the winter. If you are the family member of an ex-offender, or you know someone who's a family member of an ex-offender, the friends of ex-offenders themselves, this program is especially for you. It's made for you, and I want you to spread the word about it, okay? Got some great shows coming up this winter season. Out of time once again. I want to thank my special guest, Mr. Jim Donovan. You want to be sure and check out his book, This Is Your Life, Not a Dress Rehearsal. This is a great book for ex-offenders and for the friends and family members and loved ones of ex-offenders. Good, good book. I recommend it. Got a link there next to the podcast. You might want to click on it and check it out. Hey, I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.